This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Great to have you in the morning show on a Friday, live from Keller Fire Station number one here in Keller until 10 a.m. The Rangers lose on opening day, but it was a fun one. It was a lot of fun. The festivities were fantastic, and they're back at Globe Life Field versus the Red Sox tonight, but they drop it 5-2. The closer role, that was a huge topic of conversation going into spring training, became the story of opening day for the Texas Rangers as Luke Jackson goes in there, two hits, three earned. And the Rangers fall to the Red Sox. We have RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell, and myself, Eric Chiafalo, here live at the Keller Fire Station till 10 a.m., boys.
And we got Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, going to make a special appearance here at 9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, dude, yeah, this is a surprise.
I know.
Rob is amazing.
So yeah, Rob is going to make an appearance this morning. And then we also have another surprise guest right now here at Keller Fire Station number one, 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. Come on out. We still got Sean and RJ Firehouse Aprons, breakfast. It's a good time. The rain is letting up, so now you can come on out here and have a good time. Real quick, before we get to our special guest, shout out to Garrett in Benbrook. His brother was Sam in Fort Worth, but Garrett in Benbrook is out here with his son Cade and his daughter Addie. And so it's a great time. Everybody come on out here to Keller Fire Station number one. And now we're joined by the queen of Keller, Keller High School softball coach Jessica Pauls. And then Chop's her mic popped on. I'm not sure if they're right. There we go. Yep. Cool. Jessica, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Thank you for coming out.
Morning, coach.
Morning.
This is how I got so aligned with Keller softball. Was Jessica had reached out and she's just like, we got a big game against South. It could be cool if you guys came out. Mm-hmm. And so we came out. Eric, you came out, I think, after a remote at the ballpark. You swung by and
he did. He made a large guest appearance.
He did. He was very impactful. I think I was largely responsible for the run you guys went on.
Yeah, 100%.
Just for their stuff getting stolen, but whatever.
Yeah, just the good luck. Well, look, I mean, I bring a lot of attention from the cartel because I'm not afraid. I will speak up where it needs to be spoken up. And yeah, I may have said a little bit too much about Midland, and that puts us in a little bit of a precarious situation. But they made it far anyway, and then I got them in trouble, I think, with Dan Geyer. But other than that, it was fantastic. How's the season going so far?
Man, season's going so well. We are 15-6-1 overall. We're 8-2 in district, so we're battling with first and second with Eaton right now. We lost to them head to head early on in the district, so we're kind of fighting for first and second with them.
But you beat them North West kids.
I know.
Oh man.
But they've got a really talented team this year. You know, they they're strong across the board, along with a lot of the other teams that we have in our district. And so we've got a really talented district. We've got a lot of really talented kids throughout. So there's that those top five teams are battling for those top four positions that are going to go play in the playoffs.
So I told you guys last year, Sadie Beck, you saw her. She hit the home run while we were out there. She was a pitching superstar. She's at
I can't with Bobby. Anytime Bobby tries to talk about somebody hitting, he acts like he's Ty Cobb with a bat, with his hands like so far.
It's natural.
And he has to like,
it's natural.
Swings the bat. It's like his hands.
Peyton, you are going to die, Peyton. That's what's going to happen there. That's
yes, Peyton.
So,
hey, when it's natural, you can't turn it off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sadie, she was fantastic last year. But we also talked about along the run how they were missing a couple players. They were missing Sedona. They were missing Brooke.
Yes.
You got those two back.
We've got those two back. Sedona is back at first base, and she is doing such a phenomenal job. She's a Texas Tech commit, so she will be attending Texas Tech in the next 2 years. She's a junior.
Peyton's Texas Tech Red Raiders.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And then Brooke is going to Oklahoma Christian next year. She went up there last year and just absolutely fell in love with it. She's doing a great job for us, too. And we were very excited to have both of them back.
Well, we're excited for Keller. I'm going to get out to a game here soon. Real quick, before we jump over to our MLB stuff, I got to know, how mad exactly do you think Denton Guyer was at me last year? Or some of the people associated with Guyer?
I think some of them were mad at me. I think it's fine. Here's the thing. We play Denton Guyer the last 2 years in the playoffs.
Yep.
But we have also played them early in the year with like scrimmages and stuff like that. And we have such a good relationship with that staff. And a lot of those girls play travel ball together and stuff like that. So it's such this competitive, like respectful relationship. And so, I mean, those games are super intense for a reason, but they spend all summer playing with each other and they, you know, hang out in the summer. All the parents know everybody. And so, yeah, did it get a little heated? I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, no love lost there.
Well, good news. I think we're getting the band back together, the Softballs. That is our softball team name. We're the Softballs.
Yeah.
And we play against her husband.
Yeah.
We used to, at least.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we disbanded the team. Because
he just beat y'all down that bad?
They had ringers, okay? Wow. It was amazing. Every time we would get in the playoffs, like everybody would have like six new players, and here we are with the same right fielder who can't catch.
Aaron was definitely one of the ringers.
He was
sure.
A ringer. 100%. 100%. 100%.
I did hear, by the way, somebody on the fan text, I don't know if they were serious, somebody on the fan text did tell me that when Keller and Guyer played each other in baseball, that the coaches at Guyer showed them my tweets from the softball to like motivate them.
Bulletin board material.
Oh, baby.
So that's what somebody on the fan text at least claimed. But anyway, so Keller softball,
Bulletin
fantastic.
Bob.
They
Bulletin
are the,
Bob.
Yeah, that's me. They are the official softball show of the morning show. Jessica Wells, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you,
school.
And thank you guys for just supporting us. We appreciate everything you guys do for all of us.
Absolutely.
So.
You're incredible.
We are local as all get out. Chop.
Yeah,
MLB valuations. You had a little bit of a rant from what Forbes had
to
say.
So this is the problem that I think the MLB PA, all the PAs have, is that they don't trust the owners. They don't trust the owners, right? Because the owners are fudging the numbers. So they did the valuations of each team, and you know, the Rangers come in at $2.45 billion as the value of the team. All right, that's number 12 in baseball.
Not bad.
Not bad. It's 2% from last year, up 2% from the year before. You know, they claim an operating loss of $38 million. Okay. So some teams claimed a profit, right? Like the Angels said they made $40 million. The Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, who sell out every game, claim they made $7 million. That's it, the whole year. That's your operating income. That's your profit the whole year.
How did the Angels make more?
The Mets claim they lost $268 million. Just by existing, they claim they lost $268 million. The New York Yankees, who I went and looked, they made $650 million in revenue last year. Their payroll was under $300 million. And they claim an operating loss of $57 million. No, you didn't lose $57 million. You didn't have $350 million of expenses beyond your payroll. That didn't happen.
So well, how are they coming up?
You had to pay for the Juan Soto family suite.
Yeah, I know, right? Your payroll was like $280 million. You made $650 million in just revenue.
You had to pay for counseling for Cody Bellinger and Giancarlo Stanton, so
right?
That they could. I mean, there are a lot.
But
of
that was last year.
Up.
Those two, Bellinger wasn't on the team. Like, it's just,
that's true.
It's just a bunch of crap.
I guess
just a bunch of crap. You know, open your books. These teams, they're cooking the books, man. They're cooking the books.
That's what they do, man. But I feel like
I
all
get
the
it.
Teams
I
do.
Get it. If you like, the Rangers can look at it and say, the Diamond Sports thing, that was an issue. I get it for them. The Yankees own. They have their own network.
Yeah, I don't.
They didn't lose $50 million.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
The Mets have their own network, SNY. They didn't lose $270 million. Like, what are we doing here?
We got to stop letting them get away with it, Chop.
Yeah,
hold them
someone smarter than me has to figure this one out.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, get on that, Doge.
Hey, we do got to shout out the guy, though, who is now, what, 6 straight opening day games?
Tyler O'Neill. 6 straight opening days he has homered.
That's Paul's son, right?
I don't know. It might be. I don't know.
Or
but now he's with the Orioles. He's with the Orioles now.
Yeah, he is with the Orioles.
And 6 straight opening day home runs. That's pretty awesome.
It's impressive.
And then
it's a new record.
It is, and then Mike Trout. By the way, the record was 4. He's set. He's broke his own record.
What are you about to tell me about Trout? If it's what I think you're going to tell me, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Who did he hack off? Who did he anger?
God.
He got hit in the hand yesterday. First at bat of the year.
They thought he was going to come.
They thought he was going to come out of the game his first at bat.
I'm not laughing at that. It's
like,
it's
what is going
the worst
on?
Worst luck.
The poor guy just. Get him out of Anaheim.
He is getting.
He could get himself out of Anaheim. He clearly doesn't want to. That's my thing with Mike Trout.
They need to force him out.
You're totally fine with just being with a franchise that you know you're not going to be able to do type of legacy winning. And if you're fine with that, then for a while you're feeling bad for Mike Trout. At some point, you're like, dude, you have the opportunity to just say, get me out of here, send me somewhere else. And he hasn't wanted to do that. So
no,
he's comfortable
he
in the losing environment, and that's on him.
Did you feel that way about Dame Lillard for a while in Portland?
Yes.
Like, as a guy who, like, I don't feel bad for Dame like everybody else does, because the guy can just – he can figure out something.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately for him, he went to Milwaukee, and now doesn't he have a blood clot situation going on as well?
He does,
like, he's
going to
be missing.
This is a couple issues in NBA recently where we've had – like, there's Wembanyama, there's Dame –
Chris Bosh ended his career some years ago,
and I thought there was another one recently that had popped up. But yeah, this is that Dame is now down for the foreseeable future, because that's 2 blood clot issues this year that have taken away 2 really big stars. All right, really quickly over at MLB.com, Rangers lose yesterday 5-2 right here on 105 through the Fan. But over at MLB.com yesterday, they had 59 writers vote on the predictions for every division winner, wild card club, the pennant winner, all of that stuff. Do you know who the MLB writers projected to win the AL West?
I would say it's the Rangers.
It is the Texas Rangers. Right, the Mariners, maybe. Astros, and Athletics all received votes, but they say the Rangers have the talent.
The A's got votes.
A lot of people are buying the A's, I think.
They're not bad. You know, they spent some money. It was weird. They never spend any money. And they went out and got Severino. They paid him like $70 million. They never spend money.
I think
everybody loves Brent Rooker. He's like you can get him at like 25-30 to 1 to win the MVP.
That damn closer of theirs, who
Mason
is
Miller,
the most impossible pitcher in the world to hit. But yeah, they say that they everybody got votes on this except the Angels. It says the Rangers have the talent to win their division, something they haven't accomplished since 2016. The key is just staying healthy. We all have repeated that ad nauseum.
Yep.
Texas's defense of its 2023 World Series title didn't go as planned, as the club was dogged by injuries up and down its roster, but its lineup remains star-laden, highlighted by team leaders Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. Young bats Wyatt Langford and Josh Young haven't realized their full potential yet, and offseason additions Jock Peterson and Jake Berger should make this offense even scarier for opposing pitchers when it's at its full strength. We had all picked this yesterday. We all picked Texas to win the AL West, 90-plus wins. Did you guys do predictions on G-Bag?
Yes, yeah, and I believe Dawson was the lone wolf picking against the Rangers to not win. I don't know who he had winning. I guess he maybe went with Seattle just to try to not to give them the kiss of death with our show, everybody predicting the Rangers doing it. But ultimately, I think a lot of this comes down, and Peyton will agree, do you believe in Jacob DeGrom?
I do. Yep.
That's exactly what it comes down to. Now, the projected AL champion, according to the experts, is the Boston Red Sox.
That's the shopping. Overall AL
that is,
champion.
That is the winner. Bunch of other teams. This is how split the AL is. You mentioned how wide open the AL is. These are the other people who got votes for the AL champ. Orioles, Rangers, Tigers, Royals, Mariners, Yankees, Astros, A's, Guardians, Twins. And that's with the Red Sox winning. So 11 of the 15 AL teams received votes that they would win the American League this year.
11 teams?
11 it's wide of open, the 15 baby. Received
yeah.
votes.
There for the taking.
I have never seen. In
Three
in,
teams received votes. No, that was just for the NL East. If you look at the NL, who's going to win the NL? It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six teams received
man,
votes.
Man, I've been following this sport closely since 1982, I guess. Not quite. Like, I wasn't 3 years old. Closely following it.
Sure.
But you get the point. I've never seen the American League this bad. Ever. And if you can't, like, if you're a team that just can't get over the hump, like if you're okay. Minnesota, who can never get over the hump, right? Seattle, Cleveland, they can never get over the hump. If you're that team at Baltimore, you'll never do it. If you can't do it this year, you'll never do it. It's ripe. It is there for the Rangers to get into the World Series. It is so ripe.
The projected World Series champ is the Dodgers, but there are
going out on a limb there, SI.
Again, others receiving votes on this one, though, are the Rangers. They're including that. In fact, the Rangers are one of only three AL teams that got votes. It was the Red Sox, Rangers, and Orioles for World Series champ that got AL votes.
Man, I don't get the Orioles. They lost Burns. They lost Santander in the offseason.
I think everybody just looks at it and says there's so much young talent that they've just been
there is,
running up
there
their
is,
system.
There is. I don't see Baltimore. I don't see Baltimore.
I see Texas. That's what I see, ladies and gentlemen. We're kicking off the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour in Keller today. Keller Fire Station number one. We would love to see you out here until 10 a.m. Sean and RJ Firehouse aprons, free breakfast from Whataburger, and a lot of great fellowship. Thanks to Firehouse Roofing, Whataburger, and Firehouse Movers. All right, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Biggest L, biggest dub next right here on The Fan. All right, about to hit you with a little biggest L, biggest dub right here in the morning show, live from Keller Firehouse number one until 10 a.m. as we kick off the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. Before we do that, though, Bob, we got some shout-outs.
Yeah, and if you're coming out here today, park off Bear Creek. They've got a coned-off lane for you to come on through. Some shout-outs from the last break. We have Parker and Natalie from Keller, and they had their kids Boston and Adeline here. We also had Tyler and Keller supporting Peyton Russell. Texas Tech Red Raiders. We also had Byron from Fort Worth coming in here supporting Peyton Russell's crossing guard. So that's what we got there.
I'm not going to say who, but a very special guest is coming here as well.
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
What's the name of the person who lit me up in the survey?
No. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Release their
somebody,
name.
Somebody you will know. You will know
ooh.
When he gets here.
Ooh, I can't wait.
That's a great tease. You will know.
And it's not our guy Rob at the top of the hour.
Not from Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. No, 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 no.
All right.
No.
That's a great tease. Below the belt coming up here in a few minutes.
Maybe the top Cowboy fan in the world.
Wow, that is a massive tease.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well,
Sean was in San Antonio.
we're on watch now for the biggest Cowboys fan in the world about to plant his flag right here at Keller Fire Station number one. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories here on a Friday live from Keller? It's British Ian.
3 seconds left. Wagner driving right behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight! The Red Raiders back from the dead! They rally from 16 down and in overtime, Texas Tech knocks off Arkansas 85-83.
Unbelievable. Texas Tech and the Red Raiders from down 16 now to the Elite Eight. Texas Tech survives versus John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Texas Tech went on a 16-3 run to close down regulation, tie the ball game up, go to overtime, get the victory. Darian Williams, have a night, sir.
Yeah, it was a fantastic finish. A great comeback from Tech. An epic collapse from Arkansas. There's no business losing blowing a 16-point second half lead and a 10-point lead with 3.5 to go. But you know, the Cinderella run, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. They were as Cinderella as it gets.
It's the modern Cinderella.
If they're the modern Cinderella, they were a 10 seed from a Power 5. But that's what happens in the current in the current landscape of college athletics, that is a Cinderella as you wind up getting.
You know how you ever seen the movie She's All That?
I have seen She's All That. Yeah,
you remember how they like tried to, or like A Walk to Remember?
Oh,
how they try to make Mandy Moore and Rachel Lee Cook like look homely or whatever.
Yes, that's
Cinderella.
Yeah, that's
the modern Cinderella.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is.
That's a great call, man. I used to love that. Man, I'm a rom com guy. Now that's not really a comedy. That's romantic
that's
sadness.
Romantic
I think.
Depression.
Yeah, but still a good movie.
But still, look, we got a couple of good games last night. The Tech game was a great game. The Duke Arizona game, Caleb Love was awesome. 35 points, no turnovers. Florida pulled away from Maryland, win by 16, and then Alabama put on an absolute show. They made 25 three-pointers. Like, dude, move the line back for them.
Yeah.
Just for them. It's not fair.
I think they broke the tournament record with, like, 7 minutes remaining in the game.
They played at a pace I could not – I couldn't believe the pace they played at, either team. Like, both teams combined. Like, I knew Bama played like that. I didn't think BYU had the horsepower to do that.
214, biggest L is Bobby because Peyton caught Bobby lacking with the moan. That was not a moan, by the way.
Yeah,
that was an error in the production process of my song.
That's a moan.
430, my biggest dub this week is find out I'm going to be a dad. Look at that.
Oh, congratulations. 430.
I got a pretty big L. Uh-oh. Pretty big L that I took. I took two L's yesterday.
Wow, a double L Thursday.
A double L Thursday.
How did he get up this morning?
Good question. So I was at the gym yesterday. It was Thursday was arm day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a real athlete would. 90 minutes isolating biceps. That's what you want to do.
Sure. That's we call that every day.
I call it every day. I've realized I'm old because I strained my calf doing arms.
You strained your calf doing arms.
Yeah, I was
too much rocking.
No, I was in the cables and I was doing reverse. So I walked backwards to put the cable back down. You know, and then I strained the calf. It still hurts. I had to get. I was foam rolling. I was on the lacrosse ball. I had that gun thing out. Sarah was gunning me.
Oh, the Theragun.
Oh, it was great. I was screaming. I bit the dog's bone. I put the dog's bone in my mouth. That's how much pain I was in when she was doing that. I had to bite down on it.
You should have gone live on Instagram. Choppy here.
Well, I might have done it today. But after the gym, I went to the pharmacy because, you know, I had my colonoscopy. I had my colonoscopy a couple of weeks back.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They wrote me a prescription, and the prescription never got there. So I called them up. They said, oh, sorry, I guess something happened. I go to the pharmacy, and they said, your insurance doesn't cover this. It's going to be $1,100.
$1,100?
Yeah, for hemi medicine.
So then you said, isn't there something we can do?
And I said, I'm just going to deal with these things. So 45 years old, got a strained calf from doing arms, and I got $1,100 hemorrhoid medicine that I'm not getting.
How are they not going to cover that?
I don't know, but I'm going to be walking around the rest of my life with like what do they call those? Those inner tubes. I'm just gonna put an inner tube in my pants.
This is
sit on it.
I've overheard the likes of my father, my grandfather talking about and raving about a particular hemi cream that they get over the counter. I might have to tee this up for you.
Yeah,
I'll get the facts on it and send it your way because they speak very, very highly.
Man, my dad, after he would go to the bathroom, he would go into the recovery room, which was the bedroom. He would lay down for like an hour.
On his stomach.
He was out of commission. If he had to go to the bathroom, the day was over. We weren't doing nothing the rest of the day.
817, strained calf. Nico just traded Choppy to for Richie Witt.
God.
Choppy, it's because you
it's
got
a similar return.
It's similar return.
You got too much muscle in that calf.
That's right. That's right.
Diamond
That's
calves. Right. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your L taking. A calf injury on arm day is a sign of old age for sure.
Yeah.
It's coming for all of us. Father time.
I had the I'll tell you what my biggest L was this week. We went to the old driving range, the Top Golf.
We did?
The weekend.
Yeah, that was just your biggest L in general was you swinging
the
golf club.
I shot 60.
You did shoot 60.
Thank you. Just no other context. Did I shoot a 60?
In Top Golf?
Did I shoot a 60?
I think you did.
I did shoot a 60. He's not lying.
You're
I did.
You're a man of your word.
It was Top Golf.
Okay, so I said no other context. You can shut up now. So, we were walking out of the studio on Monday, and I was like, why does the side of my hamstring hurt? Like, both of them. And then Chop was like, because you were swinging a golf club yesterday. I was like, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, you're swinging, like, activating all sorts of muscles you're not going to use normally. when you're swinging a golf club. And this S hurt for like 3 days on this, not even like the back of it was the side of the hamstring hurt.
Both of them?
On the sides of them, right out here on the outside. Like on the side, but not the actual hamstrings themselves, but like kind of on the side there.
It just speaks
Bobby's IT bands. Yeah, the IT bands. Jacked up from golf.
Get this man a foam roller.
Now, I worked my forearm out enough that wasn't a problem. You know what I mean? But that was the hamstrings.
God.
I guess I don't get a lot of activation there, you know?
You're unbelievable. 214 Big Dubs started a new job on Monday that should enable him to retire in 9 years. So he's got the Jim Nance thing going for him here. But he says, Big L, due to the new job, 16 years of being a Tolo from 6A to 6P end today.
I guess you
can't sneak an AirPod in the office.
Yeah, you got to be able to get an AirPod.
Find a way, dude. Oh,
our world's biggest cowboy. I told you.
We deserve to stand up for this man.
Oh, he got the
applause. He's got the Rangers boob hat. Mike Adams, former Ranger, live here. In Keller, at the Keller Fire Station number 1. Look at that. Wearing a smile and a Rangers T-word hat.
The T-word hat, baby.
I wonder how many of those T-word hats
I wear a smile when I have T-tests, too. So that makes sense.
I wonder
Did he pay retail or eBay price? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's a good question. He ain't paying no eBay price for that.
That's one of my larger regrets is not buying that hat when I first saw it.
I know.
I thought it was a Ballsack Sports thing. I didn't think that was real.
I didn't either. It's a great hat though.
Getting them flipped for like $1,000 on eBay. I wonder how many of those hats. I saw some T-shirts and stuff as well from photos at the ballpark yesterday. But I wonder how many of those were just running around Globe Life Field yesterday.
Yeah, the Angels one is good. The Astros one is good.
Yeah, I love it.
And then the Rangers one is good.
Mike needs to get on headset right here. We need to start chatting with our guy. Mike Adams, live here in Keller. Big dub for us. How about that? Yeah, good morning, absolutely. Mike.
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, dude?
I'm good, man. I was supposed to have a tea time this morning, but the weather kind of screwed that up. So
okay, so
you still playing this?
Yeah.
Come get some free Whataburger.
You know it.
That's the way to do it. Were you at the game yesterday?
I was.
How was it?
It was good to the ninth inning.
Yeah, right up to the ninth.
I mean, it was flying by. Good, exciting. You know, good baseball. And then ninth inning came around, and I think what we were all kind of worried about kind of played into existence. So we will see if that bullpen can kind of come together and get the job done.
It's so great how fast these games move now.
Oh, dude, we were talking about last night or yesterday during the game. I'm like, man, this thing's going by quick. And then one of the people I was sitting with, like, how long were the games when you played? And I was like, 3.5-4 hours on a good day, you know. So
especially if you're playing Boston, they took forever.
Oh man, at Boston games, at least four minimum, you know, 4.5 on the good side. And that Boston Yankees games, I don't know what, I guess it's all the TV stuff. And
probably.
But, man, those games took forever.
Would you have, you know, we talk about the pitch clock and the speed, but would you have been in okay with that during your time? Did you move fast enough that wouldn't have bugged you?
No, I would have struggled with it. I mean, I would have adapted to it, but I would have struggled. I was a guy that had my little routine. I'd come in and kind of clean off the mound and have my little stuff. And I was a slow pitcher. But I know I would have complained about it for a little bit, but like everybody else, you know, you adapt to it. And now that it's happened, I'm a big fan of it. Big fan of it.
And then the auto strike zone. Would you like that? It's going to happen, right, at some point?
It's going to happen.
You'd be tapping your hat left and right.
Oh, dude. You know, but, I mean, with some of the calls, I mean, like y'all were talking about yesterday, I mean, they're a 16th of an inch off, and you're going to start getting that. I mean, it kind of does take the human element out of it, but you know, I mean, it's just like everything else, it's going to go electronic at some point.
How impressed were you with Nasty Nate Evaldi yesterday, watching him live in person?
I'll tell you what, man, I was really impressed with his curveball.
Yeah,
you
I was know, working.
That was really nice to see.
It was a punch-out pitch yesterday.
Dude, yeah, that to his arsenal, and, I mean, he might be, you know, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a top pitcher in the league.
How many comments did you get on that? I'm assuming you wore that hat yesterday.
I did. Yeah.
How many people stopped you being like, oh my gosh, great hat. Oh my gosh, it's Mike Adams.
No. You know, I got a lot of responses on the hat. And, you know, the big question, Dan, did you pay $500 for it? Like, no.
So you got you saw the hat, it popped up, and you were like, I'm clicking on this right now. I know it's real, and I'm going for it.
No, so I have a buddy that does, like, golf apparel. And, you know, he makes hats and stuff also. So when it came out, we were like, dude, can you make these hats? He's like, of course I can.
Copyright, baby. So, I love
incredible.
It.
Incredible.
I love it.
Mike Adams getting it done live here in Keller at Keller Fire Station number one, kicking off the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We're here until 10 a.m. with Whataburger. We got the Sean and RJ aprons as well and some fantastic fellowship. Rob Bradford talking baseball at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that. But coming up next, Below the Belt.
How close was Deion Sanders to being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Peyton Russell, MVP.
Peyton Russell's dead. We're playing it. We're playing
MVP.
It we're playing
you
it
can try.
Monday
you can try.
Or during the 9 o'clock hour. We're playing it.
We're playing it today and probably today. Monday, too.
Yeah, we're going to play it today.
And then it'll be G-Bag of the Day winner, and we'll play it all next
all right,
week.
All right, we're playing it during the 9:40 second.
Yes, we are.
I'm bored up.
Nice.
It's okay.
Nice work, Peyton.
What was that, Peyton?
He heard me.
He already went ahead. All right, how close was Deion Sanders to becoming the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? As we got Eric Chiafalo here sitting in for Sean Sharif on Sean and RJ at the Keller Fire Station number one. We still got breakfast out here. I think we only have like one apron left. It's the one that I'm holding up here. But that's it. Otherwise, we're out. RJ Chop here, and we are joined by former Rangers pitcher Mike Adams, Cowboys super fan. In fact, the biggest Cowboys fan in the world, as Choppy described him.
I mean, I just look at the amount of season tickets I hear he has. So
the idea of Deion Sanders as head coach, were you down with that potential?
Not at all.
No, just doesn't bring. Are you? I know that like pitchers specifically, a lot of them are very big into like the mental side of the game and some of the intangibles and different things like that. So when you hear Schottenheimer come up and talk about culture and the intangibles and the little things, like, are those the type of things that you do think make a big difference in professional sports?
I think they make a huge difference. I mean, because, you know, you're around those guys for, well, at least baseball-wise, for 7-8 months a year. I mean, if you don't have a rapport with all those guys, it's hard to go out there and battle with them every single day and pull for them. And that's what you need. You need to have a good team chemistry just because, you know, that alone goes a long ways.
Over on the Skip Bayless show, I know everybody's a big fan of him here. in fact, I'm just going to read from him because I didn't want to actually play any audio off of Skip Bayless's show. But on the Skip Bayless show on Wednesday, Deion had sat down with him and talked with him a little bit about some of the things this offseason with Colorado, Shador, Travis Hunter, and specifically
he gets a one-on-one with Deion.
The Cowboys. He does.
Jeez.
And so he was asked about, hey, were you ever offered the job, the Cowboys job? And Deion said, no, I'm not going to say it was offered to me. I'm going to say it was an opportunity that could have presented itself, and we didn't go to that next level. But Jerry was always honest and straight up from day one. So there was at least conversations and discussions that occurred, and it was more probably something like, hey, if you want to go down this path, we can. And ultimately, I think, to be completely honest, both sides used it for their end game, which is Deion got, you know, a probably a bigger payday out of this, got more from Colorado, and Dallas got some chatter about their job.
I mean, look, obviously there was going to be intrigue with it. It's a fit that was there because of who he is and who the Cowboys are and the relationship they had. I'm still torn. Like, I don't really know how to evaluate him. Like, he's done a really good job at Colorado, but he also had the two best players of the draft, maybe the top two picks of the draft. So this year is going to tell a lot, a lot about him.
Like, you can't – there was so much doubt for him at Jackson State when he started.
He did great things.
And there was so much of just like, this is him just – this is gimmicky. He doesn't care. And then it was like, no, this is real. Like, and he showed you that this was something where he wasn't just coming to play and get attention. He was actually going to establish something. Well, then when he moved to Colorado, it's like, all right, well, this is – why are you jumping to Colorado? This is just some – again, you're looking for some headlines. You're not going to be able to hang there. And then they come out and they beat TCU in that opener. And then they win a couple games. And – you know, they show, all right, some struggles that first year in the back half, but they showed, all right, we can compete in the transfer portal. We can bring in good coaches. They've got, you know, a Pat Shurmur who's been the offensive coordinator there before.
Not a good coach.
Byron, but an NFL coach, nonetheless. Byron Leftwich, who was at one point a highly touted, highly regarded coordinator and head coaching candidate, was just brought onto their staff. And so he's shown an ability to kind of build it out a little bit. I don't know at the end of the day if the flash fits Colorado. And so I still think at some point he's going to leave, whether that's for the NFL or if it's for Florida State or something like that at some point.
I think Florida State's the obvious one. I think he's built for college. I think he's great for the college game. He can go into any living room and convince parents, hey, look, like, let me take care of your young man.
I agree, but I also think that his desire to want to coach his son, wherever Shador ends up, the head coach of that team is going to be looking over his shoulder, especially if it's the Giants, who they might be one and done, with Daboll this next season. And who knows? I mean, maybe it's the Raiders or something like that. Pete Carroll got like a 3-year deal. He could be out of there in no time. I think wherever Shador ends up, you're going to be on Deion watch to be that team's next head coach.
It's funny you mentioned Shador. So over at Sports Illustrated, Connor Orr has a new column up. Russell Wilson's signing leaves Shador Sanders with four intriguing scenarios. So he runs through the various options potentially now that exist. Number one, the Giants signed Wilson after becoming certain the Browns were going to take Shador Sanders. So that this could be a move that they make because they know they don't have a shot. Browns aren't going to trade with him. They're not going up to the Titans. So if that happens, the likelihood out of that is a 2 out of 10, according to Connor Orr, he thinks.
Yeah, because Adam Schefter already had the report of the Browns are zeroing in on Abdul Carter, the Penn State edge rusher, at 2. Now, maybe that's smoke, but when Schefter's reporting it, it feels pretty legit.
Be pretty nasty defensive line.
Yeah.
Him and Miles.
Be very, very good. And then you got Dak at quarterback, of course, because that trade's
That trade's going to happen, yeah.
So we got that, too. Are you a Dak guy? Are you a Dak fan? You want to be?
I was big on Dak. I was a big puller for him, and then it's kind of faded. He hasn't been everything that I wanted him to be, and I want him to be good so bad.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that when we talk about the intangibles that we were just talking about, intangibles and those sort of little details and things like that, I still think that's where he checks the highest marks. And this is what I'll say. This is what I've always said about Dak is, I think people, Sean's always said, oh, it's like saying, oh, that girl has a nice personality, whatever you're talking about. What are you not saying? And to me, it's like, I think that it's the reverse. You got to think, how important is it to that football team that you know how to handle this job? Because there's a lot of people, I'll be honest, a lot of people felt like Romo couldn't handle that job. But like everything that needed to come into it. They know that Dak's going to have all of that handled and on the level, and he's going to be prepared for whatever comes their way, and he's going to lead that locker room. And so that's why I think they believe we're rolling the dice even more by getting somebody who we don't know if they're ready for what this job means and what this attention means and how it can distract you.
I mean, it is the is it not the most famous job in all of sports?
Probably Cowboys starting quarterback. What else would be even close?
Yeah, I mean, you're the pitcher.
Lakers, you know, anybody in the Lakers.
I mean, I would think Yankees, Lakers, those are the two that really stand out. The only problem there is just maybe Yankees center fielder, or just whoever the Yankees star is. Whoever the star of the Yankees is, that's probably equal. Or whoever the star of the Lakers is. It's just different because with the Cowboys, that's a position. It's not whoever's the star. It's the quarterback.
It's that position.
And it's a little different with, baseball and basketball in terms of being able to say that position is always going to get the attention of, you need to be the leader and you need to respond to this. And so I would say, probably Jeter probably felt as much pressure and intensity as a Cowboys quarterback would.
Kobe probably
felt that. But that's more just kind of a rotating who are you and how do you fit into the structure of the organization is what I would guess. All right, next scenario here that they bring up, the Giants still plan on drafting Shador Sanders. They rate this a 4 out of 10 on the likelihood scale. That'd be interesting if they were to go get Jameis, sign Russell Wilson, and then still draft Shador. That just seems like a waste of resources.
I mean, you have to, if you have Jameis, I mean, he can teach you how to eat a W.
Yeah.
And then, there you go.
There's nothing better than that.
Russ is on a 1-year deal, though, right? It's a 1-year deal with Russ. Mm-hmm. So, I think the position's still open. Jameis, at this point, I think he knows he's not a starting quarterback. Or at least, the league has told him he's not a starting quarterback.
Yeah, his deal was like 2 years, $8
million. Yeah, that's a great deal.
For the Giants.
For the Giants, absolutely. I mean, look, for him it is, too. You want to pay me $8 million over the next 2 years, sit there, hold a clipboard, maybe play a little bit?
Third scenario, Giants were never going to take Sanders and planning on drafting either Carter or Hunter at 3 and a high-end developmental player in the middle rounds. That is a 6 out of 10. That's a fairly likely scenario, I think, is that the Giants were never going to take him. No matter how much Shador tried to make it happen with his Giants shoes and playing catch with Malik Nabers in the street in December and everything else they did. And then the most likely scenario for them, this conversation seems a little silly in retrospect, as Sanders is poised to fall a little bit further than we initially expected. And that's the common thing that we're hearing, is that Shador very well could slip out of the top five at some point.
Man, I'd be surprised.
So would he. He's dripping with confidence, as he should. He's a Sanders, but he will be shell-shocked if he's not picked in the top
five.
Teams
need quarterbacks, man. You can't be letting them go. If you don't have a quarterback, take your chance. Take your chance with Shador. Otherwise, you're going to wait till next year, and then who knows where you're going to pick. You might not get to a position. You might be in the top five again next year, and there's not a quarterback on the board that you would even be considering getting.
Yeah, I mean, that's I understand the idea of, like, go get the quarterback, but also, again, we're talking about quarterback is such a natural position of where you're going to default as the leader. And if it's the old, you know, Parcells line about, like, do you check these boxes, these 10 commandments or whatever they are, that say you've got what it takes to lead a locker room? Because we've seen that was a big question with Kyler Murray. That's been a question with Baker Mayfield in the past. Those things have come up before. So there are some of the snares there. We got former Rangers pitcher Mike Adams joining us here, and he is the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan in the world, according to Chop.
Yes.
That's what his commitment level is. Overall thoughts and feelings about the Cowboys, where they stand right now, how they've been with this offseason, with their selective aggressiveness?
It's the same as last year. I mean, the all-in stuff. I mean, the whole I'm the biggest Cowboys fan. I'm on the kind of on the Mike Bassick train right now.
Oh, no.
After last year, after Jerry's comments of the all in,
yeah,
that just soured me when they did nothing. And you know the way it's gone. And I mean, I've been a season ticket holder for 15 years now, and I've just thrown my money away. And you know, until they really do something to prove that they are the Dallas Cowboys and they're not a symbol. You got to prove it to me. So even last year, I went to one single game, and that was because I couldn't get rid of the tickets the last game. So me and my son went and just kind of, you know, it was a good game. I'll give it that. But yeah, I'm so upset with the Cowboys.
Did you get tickets this year?
Yes, but see, so here, look, here's always the talk. Oh, Jerry's saying the season ticket, you know, renewal. You can't just get rid of your season tickets. You pay your license fee.
Yeah,
and it's not cheap for your license fee. So it's not like other sports where you'd be like, oh, I'm just going to quit my season tickets. No, if you quit your season tickets, you're going to lose money. You know, you're going to lose money. So that's why people don't just get rid of their season tickets.
You're committed.
I'm committed. Yes, I'm committed.
You're in this. You took those vows.
It's
for
like
better,
a,
it's
for
like
worse.
Better or worse.
It's
for
like
better
a 30
or
year
better or worse.
It's like a 15, 30-year commitment then.
It's a 30-year commitment. It's a 30-year commitment.
Wow. Jeez.
Look at that.
It's a mortgage.
It is.
Yes, it is. It is a mortgage.
It is. Got to refinance.
So when Jerry says, oh, those season ticket renewals are still the same, it's because you can't just give them up. You can't just give up your season tickets. You know, so there's a little asterisk to that whole
insider
comment.
Info. Thank you,
that
Mike
is
Adams.
Insider info, baby.
That's good.
B-Belt right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Nice work, Bobby. Better work, Peyton Russell. We barrel into the 9 o'clock hour, the final hour of this Friday edition, live here in Keller at Keller Fire Station number 1. We'd love to see you out here until 10 o'clock. From one legend in Mike Adams to the next, Rob Bradford, Odyssey Sports Podcast. Baseball isn't boring. Talking Rangers, Red Sox next, right here on The Fan.